America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. The Drive is live on a beautiful Monday. We are waiting, and we will go right out there live. We are awaiting the head coach, DeMeco Ryans, to get his thoughts. We have not heard him since late Thursday night in that game after they took that L against the Jets. So a new week, and this is arguably the toughest game they have on their schedule coming up on Sunday as they face the team that many believe is the best team in football, the Detroit Lions. So we'll hear his thoughts coming up as soon as he jumps on. We will go right out to NRG to hear from him. By the way, you're going to get a lot of DeMeco today. As it is Monday, we are out early at 5 o'clock, the coaches show with DeMeco Ryans. You'll hear more from him. So we're an hour delayed of that. So you right now, that's your dream, Clint. Your dream is to hear a different sounding, a different feel, a different urgency of whatever from DeMeco Ryans.
Yes, and everybody goes, oh, he's not going to be that critical. Look, I'm not talking about being critical of any one individual. I'm talking, it's very simple. The way you feel, everybody listening out there that roots for the Houston Texans, and I mean you got a damn hat, you've been to a couple games this year, you spent some of your hard-earned money on it. Those individuals out there listening right now.
You lose sleep when they lose?
You lose sleep. You're still pissed off today because of what you watched Thursday. I tried to go over to a friend's house where I ain't seen people in probably 2 weeks, Saturday night, and I get peppered with what the hell's wrong with the Texans. That was embarrassing. What the hell happened? Why is this? Why is that? Here's what they need to do. Because of how terrible that product was Thursday night.
First thing
night.
Happened to me when I walked in the men's clinic.
There you
and then,
go.
And then later on, something else happened.
We're going to talk about that. You shifted gears. So look, the thing is, the deal is like all of those people, right? How you feel is exactly what we should hear and feel and the vibe we should get from DeMeco Ryans. There shouldn't be no, that's how we expected a game to play out, and ha-ha, we'll get this right, and everything's fixable. No, there's a sense of urgency. The schedule's getting significantly better. If we don't get our crap together, then we risk getting beat like we did against the Jets versus better football teams moving forward. What do you think Lamar Jackson's going to do to us if we don't get our crap together? Right, you got the quarterback in the post-game presser talking about pointing fingers and buying in. It's week 10.
We'll hear from that.
I expect to hear something different from the coach. Absolutely. The least you could expect is a different tone. Absolutely. And everybody out there talks about that. I'm not talking about all those sensitive folks. I'm talking about calling anybody out. Right? I'm not. That's not the deal.
You just want to hear a different tone.
As a fan, I want to feel... like whatever's going on this week, the crap that we've been watching for 9 weeks, really, if we're being completely honest, on one side of the ball or the other, is being addressed. That's it.
Well, let's see if we hear it. Here is the head coach DeMeco Ryans live at NRG.
Communication and then also playing better in the second half. What are some common threads you're seeing with the line and trying to you guys try to get this score?
Yeah, for our team right now, we all have to play better. Every position, you know, we all have to play better. It's not one position. Everybody has to play better for us to win games. You know, going forward, it's everybody playing better.
Do you anticipate making any changes to the offensive line?
We'll look at that as we continue to go throughout the week. But as of right now, again, everybody has to play better.
What's available to you that maybe you haven't tried to help the pass blocking get more on track?
Yeah, it's it's not just, you know, everybody's focus is just on the pass blocking. And, of course, we've had some bad reps in the pass blocking, but it's everybody working together. It's an entire offense working together, right? It's never just one thing, right? And I know it's easy to point the finger at one thing. It's never just one thing. It's all 11 guys working together, being in sync.
How much do you think, you know, CJ utilizing his check down just a little bit more could help mitigate and alleviate some of that pressure?
Again, when I talk about everybody playing better, it's everybody. It's the quarterbacks, the tight ends, it's the receivers, our entire offense, right? Our entire defense, our special teams unit. That's where I'm at. Like, and we can hone in on different spots and all those. It doesn't matter. Each position, no matter what it is, from top to the bottom, we all play better, we'll be in position to win games.
Nico, the other line, obviously the pass blocking is getting a lot of attention, but the run blocking's been pretty good with Joe. Can you put that in perspective, what he's been able to Straight together these last several weeks.
Joe's been dynamic for us. I think every time he touches the ball, he's going to gain some type of positive yardage. And that goes to, right, all that credit goes to how the guys are blocking up front. They do a great job of blocking it in the run game. We had a lot of lanes available in the run game, and Joe runs the ball with that, you know, relentless mindset, physical, running guys over, you know, playing the game the right way. He brings a passion. He brings an edge to the game that I think everybody can feed off of.
During your time as overseeing the defense, it seems like whether there's injuries, whether it's putting guys in the right place, they seem to step up and you put them in the best place to succeed. Do you have the confidence on offense that when it comes to these protection things, the staff can do the same thing?
Yeah, for all of us, it's as coaches, right? It's all of our job to put our guys in position, right, to be successful, right? And it's our players' job to go out and execute and play to the best of their ability. And when their opportunity comes, are you making those one-on-one plays? Because that's what the game ultimately always comes down to, no matter how you slice it up. In the league, like, are your players making the plays they need to win games? That's what it always comes down to.
We talked a lot about culture here in Houston, and the swarm mentality, and sense of pride that's been brought back here to Houston. The team that's coming in, Detroit, what have you kind of seen from them in the past few years with their culture and how revitalized Detroit is with their team?
Yeah, seeing Detroit the past couple of years, I think you see the culture, you see the energy that Coach Campbell has brought to that team, right? You see the mindset, the toughness, physicality, right? Their style of play, it shows up on tape, you know, every week. So, and they got really good players as well across the board. They're able to add a lot of good players, a lot of good young players that are exhibiting, right, that mindset and that culture. And it's a really good team coming in here this week, and we're very excited about the matchup.
You got an update with Nico Collins on whether he'll be able to play soon?
Yeah, we'll continue to evaluate Nico throughout the week, see where he is.
D'Amico, can you it's a two-part question. So the offensive line has been doing a better job of run blocking. Are you surprised that there's some challenges? I know it's different with pass blocking. Is it something that you think you guys collectively is a fix that you guys can handle? That's the question.
For our guys up front, like you said, they've done a good job of blocking. They've had a lot of good pass reps too. I think everybody highlights the bad reps. Of course, that's where the focus goes. You know, on the bad reps, we've had really good pass rush snaps. And you know, where are we with the timing, with the progression of the routes, and all those? Are we open? You know, in the timing of the play. So all of those things matters when we do have good protection, and all of that is a factor as well.
Coach, you
talked about second half adjustments, and on the offensive side of the ball, what are you seeing as far as maybe some of, I don't want to say the play calling and some of the inefficiencies that they're having in the second half as far as scoring?
Yeah, for us, we've done a great job of moving the ball to get, you know, across midfield, and I'm, you know, very encouraged with that progress of us moving the football, because we can move it when we need to. It's just when we've gotten across midfield, we hadn't been able to, you know, get points. And you know, those red zone opportunities, they come up very slim, you know, in games. And when we are there, of course, we want to capitalize and be better. We haven't been really good in the red zone and on third down, right, where you sustain those drives and score points. So that's been a a focus. We understand that, and we understand we have to make some adjustments and put our guys in a better position to score points.
It looked like you guys put Stingley in a lot of one-on-one situations, and he obviously was able to thrive in the situation. What kind of gave you guys the confidence to leave him one-on-one against Devontae, Garrett, Mike Williams, and what kind of allowed him to be able to hold his own against those pretty good receivers?
Yeah, Stingley, he's a good player, good young player. He competes. He challenges receivers down the field when the ball is up. He doesn't find himself in a position where he's panicking, right? He's calm at the catch point, allowing him to, you know, kind of go up and defend those passes. And he's confident in himself, and that's what allow you to be a good player. Anybody you want to make plays in this league, you got to be confident, and you have to have that belief in yourself, right, that you can make those plays and you thrive on those one-on-one matchup opportunities. And Stingley has done a good job with those.
Do you have an update on Will Anderson Jr.? How's he doing?
Yeah, we're still evaluating Will, see how he progresses throughout the week.
I think you asked in the past about whether you need to make a move at the trade deadline, and you express confidence in the guys that you have right now. Just given last game, as well as the injuries that you all have sustained, is your opinion the same, or do you think?
Yeah, my opinion is always the same on that. I mean, we're with Nick and his staff, we're always looking to make our team as good as we could possibly be, right? Do we have a heightened sense of just making a move just to make? No, we're always looking to add to our team, add to our depth. That's something we do constantly throughout the year. So there isn't just a mad rush now at the trade deadline for us to change our approach and how we go about managing our roster. Right? Our roster management doesn't change. Right? We're always looking to upgrade.
A couple more. Kenyon going down, just what you make of your options with Kendrick and Jarrett both being utilized at that
line. Yeah, we'll see who steps up at the offensive line position. We'll see who steps up, see how we go out there and get the job done.
Coach, you've always expressed that it's not easy to win in this league. It's a week to week you're playing against other professional football players. Going up against the Jets, coming in, they were 2-6. They had lost their last five. Is this kind of like a wake-up call maybe for some of your players, or is just something that you all were, you know, saying you got to make sure that you stay focused?
Yeah, for us, I feel like our guys are focused going into the game, and just because the record says one thing, I don't know, everybody falls into the mold of just because a team's record is one thing that you're going to go in and automatically beat a team. That's not how the league works, right? You have to earn the right to win. And to earn the right to win, you have to work the right way throughout the week, and you have to make plays in the game to win, right? The Jets are a really good team, top 10 defensive unit. They got playmakers, Aaron Rodgers, Adams, Garrett. It's not like, you know, they don't have playmakers on their team and they were just going to lay down because we showed up. That's never the case. So you go out and you earn the right to win by making the plays you're supposed to make. No matter what the record is, it doesn't matter who you play, what the record says, how well are you playing on game day?
Thanks, coach.
All right. Thank you.
All right. That was the head coach from the text line and from the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans. Those of you as well on the YouTube and Twitch. Well, Joseph said, Clint's hair is, I've no Clint's hair is on fire. Clint came in, said he wanted to hear something different from D'Amico. I fully thought I would hear even keel, same D'Amico. Your reaction to what he had to say there, Clint, did you, I'm gonna guess you didn't get what you were looking for.
No. It's just same old, right? You know, everybody's got to play better. Yeah, we get that. Hell, you got embarrassed by a 2-6 football team, right? I mean, we understand everybody's got to play better. Yeah, I don't like it. I don't expect to have a 20-minute call-out fest of jersey numbers, but at the end of the day, just, you know, he had a good little thing going until all of a sudden he starts talking about we had some good offensive pass protection reps too.
Which end was he looking for?
My problem with it is that I believe that's the same message that team's getting.
I hope not. That's why I said I want to see actions. I want to see if we see major changes in actions on Sunday night.
Like what?
Just, I mean, them doing something different from the lineup. We know the lineup will be different, but if they're just, like, just running Kendrick Green out there, if that's what the answer is, should we, you know, expect to see something more max protect? I want to wait and see if we see some real adjustments. And I'm with you, Clint. I don't know that I think we will, because this offensive line protection thing has not been just a problem that's just popped up this week.
Yeah.
Like, that's the question I want to ask him is, and I don't think it's out of line, is, hey, D'Amico, what would you say is the reason that it is taking so long to find answers? Like, why is it taking so long? Like, when he says, like, nobody want to hear nothing about no damn good pass protections. We saw the five. Nobody wants to hear that. He's got C.J. Stroud has been sacked the same amount of times the last 3 weeks that Patrick Mahomes has been sacked the entire season. And Patrick Mahomes has bad tackles.
Wow.
He's running for his life with these tackles. He's been sacked 12 times in 8 games. Stroud's been sacked 12 times the last 3.
Yeah.
Like, nobody wants to hear about the 6 good protections that were had out there. Like, I know they happened. But nobody needs to hear that. Like,
well, I mean, look, the part I do, and it's not that it's agree or disagree, but he was on a really good track, in my opinion, when he's talking about, he's trying to emphasize to the media that it's not all about the O-line, right?
In other words,
it's the quarterback, it's the play calling, it's the, but there's nothing wrong with going into depth right there in terms of what you're talking about. Like, my complaint, my concern as a Texans fan is 100% with the fact that now I just firmly believe that's the message that the team's getting behind closed doors.
Text line coming through, 1,000% agree with Clint. I bet this is how he's addressing the team, is what Clint just said. Someone else on the 5-Hour Energy fan text line. Clint and Ron, what do you want D'Amico to say? Give me a break. You guys have no clue what's going on behind doors.
Let us know then, friend. You let us know.
Listen,
wherever the hell you are.
Like, I don't have a problem. Like, I understand where Clint's coming from. You want to see, there's a change of something. For me, you just ain't got to come up here and say, tell us about the good protections. Like, come on, man.
But that's silly, defensive, soft-ass way of thinking. That's just like, you have no idea what's going on behind closed. I don't need to know what's going on behind closed doors. I watch what goes on Sunday. I watch what went on Thursday.
Whatever's going on behind closed doors, it's continuing.
Yes, I watch. I hear a quarterback talking about staying aggressive, and that's their messaging. He stays aggressive and gets his ass sacked 8 times, right? He stays aggressive and he gets sacked. I don't know how many times against Green Bay and throws for 86 yards. Has the worst game of his career. Like, it's the same old, and when you have this. This lackadaisical approach and no sense of urgency, it at some point, right? At some point, you got to believe what you're hearing, right? If the messaging we're getting seems to be exactly what plays out on Sundays, and the disconnect is whatever we don't know that D'Amico's saying behind closed doors isn't getting through to Bobby Slowick. It isn't getting through to C.J. Stroud. It's not getting through to the offensive line, right? Because according to that texture, boy, that's just that we have no idea what's going on behind closed doors. I know this. Whatever's going on behind closed doors ain't working.
Yeah.
Like, your quarterback, he is literally getting killed every game day. The last 3 games has been the worst 3 games of his career in terms of how much he's getting pressured.
Yeah.
It just led to you losing to a 2-6 football team.
Oh, no.
Like,
no.
What the hell do you think is going on behind closed doors?
Yeah, man. If you cheat on your wife and you tell her, hey, I turned down 3 others, that's not softening the blow. that's not, you know what? All right, good. I'd like to hear about those 3 others you shot down, not that one that you've been knocking off for the last year and a half in rental properties. No, that's not it. I don't know where the rental properties came from. All right, coming up, he did drop some news there, and there's some other news of what there could be potential answers for the Texans. We'll discuss that coming up.
to Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, we just heard from the head coach. A little news health-wise with the Texans as they got a little mini bye, 10 days off. They'll play, and then a little longer because they got Sunday Night Football where they'll play the Detroit Lions, who just who arguably had the best win of the season on the road at Green Bay in that weather. And to be honest, it was 24-14 that game. Watching it, it wasn't even that close. For those of you who are watching soccer, it was a game 17-3 at the half.
In the third quarter,
they come right out 24-3, and they never really looked back. So, but they've got them coming in. I'd say some health concerns, or I think some good news as well. We'll start with the good news. As we said, they did bring Jerry Hughes as well as Jeff Okuda off the injured reserve, so they should be able to join the team and play on Sunday, which is big. We can get to that. Also, they talked about the two injuries there to two cornerstone players on this team. One, Clint Will Anderson. They said they're going to continue to evaluate his ankle. You remember late in that game in the second half, fourth quarter, he was not in as much, very, very in and out of the lineup, and it felt like more out of the lineup. And then Clint, the one that I think a lot of people are expecting is Nico Collins. We'll continue to evaluate Nico throughout the week and see where he is. That is what D'Amico Ryans had to say about Nico Collins, who is eligible to come off of IR and join the team. Said he had been running 20 miles per hour in a training session, according to Aaron Wilson. So those are very, very important things that we need to be looking at all week long to see what that shakes out for in regards to the Texans when they play on Sunday night. Because Nico, we'll see about Azeez Alshire as well, another one who's been out. But Nico, Will, those guys, those are big, big stories to watch all week.
Those two guys, man. I mean, to me, it's the impact players on both sides of the field.
Big-time impact players.
Like will determine whether you have the firepower offensively to keep up or the dude on the defensive side of the football to make enough plays to give you a chance. I mean, they're just flat-out difference makers, right? So, Nico alone's not going to be the answer. It will be an improvement, but Nico alone is not going to be the answer. There's going to be some major adjustments, even with Nico in the game, for you to stay on the field with the Detroit Lions, even in prime time in your own backyard. It's going to be tough. I mean, that's to me the best team in football right now, the Detroit Lions, and they're going to be a tough beat.
Yeah, they are. Let's not get aggressive. They will be a tough beat. Listen,
that's their red, and you're talking right there.
Yeah, I'll admit for good reason. But I want to bring this to both of y'all because, you know, tell me if this is Houston Astro in me or if I'm overthinking this. And I've been an overthinker a time or two. So you all tell me if I'm overthinking this. So we know Jerry Hughes and Jeff Okuda are able to be eligible to come off IR, and they have come off. We've heard that this morning. But when he was asked about Nico Collins, we're going to keep evaluating. And we've heard him when guys are able to come off IR, he'll talk about, yeah, he'll return to practice.
Yeah.
I have some concerns that I'm not sure if Nico's going to be able to go on Sunday. Just based off how he is handling this, if Jeff Okuda and them are eligible to come off, I'm sorry, Jerry Hughes. I'm going to stop just calling you and them. Jeff Okuda and Jerry Hughes are able to come off. We've heard him do this with other players. He didn't seem as confident about where Nico could be gamesmanship, could be messing with the Lions. But it made me pause and think a little bit. What does this mean about Nico? Is Nico going to be ready to play on Sunday?
Well, no, look, I don't know if he's going to be ready or not, but I'll be honest with you. I would be surprised if he's on the field Sunday.
I would lean to cautious, to being cautious.
Absolutely, 100%. The whole time you're talking about Nico right there, I'm thinking, is Detroit really the team that you want to bring him back against a week early and risk it? I don't know if that's the case, right? I mean, this is one of those NFC games that in the big scheme of things doesn't really mean a whole hell of a lot. And so I don't know that you chance it anyway with Nico.
Yeah, you just don't want to have any kind of a re-injury.
Damn sure in a game that don't mean nothing.
Check your other.
I mean, because you're going to end up in a dogfight. I mean, you've got you positioned yourself with some cushion with the two wins over Indianapolis and getting that two-game lead, plus the sweep of the Colts, getting that out of the way, and you've given yourself a little room margin for error, if you will. But with your schedule getting more difficult, it's going to get interesting down the stretch. And I don't know that you want to bring back Nico Collins early, just to hopefully right the ship against the Detroit Lions.
Now, if he's right, he's 100%. Hey, you know, or however feel roll cool, because he is absolutely a lift. Like, the worst thing you need to have happen is, hey, like Christian Harris, who we didn't hear from him again. I guess we just ain't going to hear about Christian Harris until he's ready to hear about Christian Harris, to talk about Christian Harris. But Christian Harris stepped out on the field, and then whatever, they thought he was ready to go through at least kind of roll with the team. We have not seen him since. That was in training camp, Jack. Yep. That's the worst thing. You don't want to see any kind of re-injury because obviously with Nico, you got to have him. All right, coming up, yeah, I played some audio from C.J. Stroud, and this was coming off Thursday night's game, and it is, to me, it says a lot potentially of where this team is, at least where they were Thursday night. We'll discuss.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is that coming up next?
The Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
The 5-Hour Energy Fan line. You can jump in on this as well. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch. Obviously anybody involved with the show this weekend, it was one of those weird things, not quite a bye for the Texans. Obviously they played Thursday, but you got to chill and sit and watch all the games, right? Just kind of watching football. We saw, you know, some of the top teams involved, some of the teams that the Texans are battling with. You saw the division as the Titans beat the Patriots in overtime, but the Colts lost, the Jags lost. Did you feel better about the Texans? Thursday was like it was right in your face. Right? Did you feel better about the Texans watching the rest of the league?
I didn't. Just made me think, man, this AFC South really is a piece of
Didn't feel better watching the Ravens Broncos game. That was a game that
No.
Did it make you feel any better? Didn't have you?
That's a negative.
There are a couple of things that could make you feel better. That made me feel better. Personally, and as a Texans fan, the wheels are coming off the Cowboys, and the Texans are going to catch them when the wheels are coming off.
What's your point?
And possibly without Dak now, so that is
no possible. He's going to miss several weeks.
Have they already announced that?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you have that. So that game looks a little bit different now. The Bills winning another ball game, sitting at 7-2. That win for the Houston Texans looks better than it did at the time.
They've won four in a row since.
Yeah, it looks better than it did at the time. So. There's a couple of. If you're one of those that just looks at the record, the 6-3, and you feel really comfortable with that, and then you just really look at the division. If you're not into looking at kind of how you stack up as a Super Bowl contender and how you stack up against the better teams in the AFC, if that's not your cup of tea and it's just kind of ho hum, let's get through the week, then you're all right.
My man Joseph said, Ron, nope, seeing Akers being able to easily navigate when he was on the field made me mad. Right, Cam Akers did play last night on Sunday Night Football for the Vikings against the Colts, who did the Texans a favor. That one was tough to go and watch the Lions, watch the
nice.
Bills.
I didn't realize that Cam Akers 7.7 a carry.
Yeah, no. To watch the Lions, to watch the Bills, to watch the Ravens, to watch some of these other teams that are that are contenders coming off of your game against the Jets.
I can't get Cam out of my mind.
Take a second. That's that point here. But I look at this and I'm watching these other teams. You named them, the Bills, the Ravens. Like, listen, they have flaws like the Texans do, but you could see there's a connection there. There is something off with this team. And we wondered what that would look like coming in year two after everything they put together. There was never anything off about the team last year. You felt really, really good about just, not even on the field stuff, but just how this team operated and how they were. You never thought there was any kind of issues there. Well, C.J. Stroud, after the game, had this to say directly after the game against the Jets that, kind of brings the thought of things feel like they're different. We felt that, now we may be hearing things are different inside that locker room.
Yeah, I would say that. We've had a couple wake-up calls this year. I would say, we just got to honestly just play football better, execute better, stop pointing the finger and realize, at the end of the day, like, this is not winning football, and we can't keep squeezing our way by every game. We are a really good football team. We have a lot of really good football players. Once we buy into the systems and what is being, coached, and also we got to be able to have leadership to take over. So, I believe, this isn't the end, but this is definitely a great wake-up call for us to, tighten up the
Clint, now he said three different things there where I'm like, it feels like things are different this year as opposed to last year. And I'm not just talking about on the field, they're 6-3. But things are different, but it just feels like the way they go about their business feels different. And right there, my man said, we got to stop pointing fingers. I don't feel like that was ever a thing from last year. We got to be bought in. I felt like them jokers were bought in from day one. Every last one of them, it felt like it. And then as he sat there, we've got a I just lost the last thing he said there, but
talking about the part where he's talking about people buying into the system.
Yeah. Well, there was a third one he said at the tail end that has just lost me. I'm sure someone on the text line. I mean, I really had the three right there ready too, and I just only got the two for you right now. But it's just different. It feels different. It seems different. And now he is kind of alluding to something being different. I can't put my finger on it. I mean, there are some different players from last year. Obviously, the guys they've added from free agency and from the draft. But something's off about this team. And something's off when you compare it to the other teams that feel like they got a chance to win big. And they gotta fix this thing, whatever that is. That is off, because last year there was a togetherness. They were right there. All of that stuff. That is not the same right now.
Well, look, I mean, adversity's a bad dude. Now.
Thank you, real quick. He said leadership. Got to find leadership. That was the third one. Got to find leadership. When the hell they have problems?
I mean, adversity exposes a man's true character. The truth of the matter is, last year the expectations were low. And when they did hit adversity last year, one of the things that this team, which is one reason why I felt very strongly about the staff and CJ, when they hit adversity last year, they were very quick to adjust. They were very quick to change what they were doing to overcome the O-line issues. They were very quick to change what they were doing early in the year. I think it was like halftime of the Baltimore game, or maybe it's halftime. Actually, the Baltimore game was a wake-up call. Halftime of week two versus the Colts is when it seemed like it was a light bulb moment for C.J. Stroud. And everything they were doing, the quarterback's mentality, the play calling, everything was to overcome issues up front to protect a young quarterback that was in his first few games of the NFL. And then all of a sudden all the receivers get hurt. They adjusted. Nico Collins is running screens out of the backfield as well as, and he becomes the do-everything guy, and they're finding ways to get him the ball. You could watch this offense run, and you could see where adjustments were being made. And clearly guys were bought in because I think really because they're younger, they hadn't had any experience, they hadn't had any success. They were hungry to follow the lead of whoever the coaches were and whatever was going on. And now they've tasted a little bit of success, and they don't seem to be adjusting offensively even remotely close to the rate in which they were adjusting last year. And that's where I get to the point of talking about pointing fingers. Like, to me, that's the one thing here that makes sense. Like, and again,
all that stuff he brought out, kind of, you can't put your finger on it. That makes sense.
No, hell yeah, it makes sense. As if you stack it up against what we've watched, it makes perfect sense. But Ron, the pointing finger thing, right? And I'm talking about the offense as a whole from a 30,000 foot view on the outside looking in. It looks like everybody involved is pointing fingers at the offensive line. Everybody involved is, I'm the quarterback, I'm going to stay aggressive, damn it. Offensive line's got to protect better. Bobby Slowick, we've worked on being aggressive from the first day of training camp, and this is how we're going. We got all these explosive weapons, and this is how we're going to run our offense, at least from a pass game perspective. We got to execute better, quote unquote. We got to pass protect better. Everything's about those guys changing instead of them adjusting in a way in which we saw them adjust almost on the fly last year multiple times, right? So when I hear him say, I don't know if that's what he meant or not, but when I hear him say pointing fingers, you can look at how they've not made adjustments offensively and just kept talking about guys up front have to execute better. You can look at all that, connect the dots, and say that's exactly what C.J. Stroud's talking about.
I know we got to go to break, but how? Like, the thing that we were hearing was, hey, we're year two in the system. Bobby's staying. Continuity is great. And they ain't bought.
I just hit that. You're all right.
They have bought in. We still got people. We got to buy in. My God. How the hell did we get to that point? Who the hell needs to buy in? I think there's a couple of names I can think of that you wonder if they completely are, but man, that's wild.
It's really about the 69.
Thank you, Lovey. Coming up at 3:00, that will be an important time tomorrow because that is when the trade deadline in the NFL ends. How confident are you? As I know many of you have talked about, they got to make a move. How confident are you that Nick and DeMeco will make a move by 3:00 tomorrow to add to this team? We'll discuss that coming up next.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.